This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are in Austin, Texas, and we're all calling in from the house. It's John Massengill. That's Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. What's up, boys?
How are ya?
Howdy. Hey, no fevers, no temperatures. We're all good.
That's right. We're all calling in from the house with no temperatures. That's the way we like it. But, man, what a great day of esports racing we got to DC today. Formula One, NASCAR. It was awesome.
I'm going to say that was pretty darn good. I won't say almost as good, but it was real good. It satisfied my appetite for a while.
I have to say that given what's going on with everybody in the world right now, to have a little bit of joy, some real competition, some great entertainment, and more importantly, some racing was great. And I saw it right across the board from NASCAR to F1 to the Bahrain GP. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and guys, I don't know if you saw this, but I tweeted out from our Speed City account earlier that during the F1 esports event, you know, the virtual Grand Prix, they call it, they had over 300,000 people watching because there was 158,000 watching on their YouTube channel, 57,000 watching on the F1 Twitch channel, and over 100,000 watching Lando Norris's Twitch. So over 300,000 people streaming it and watching it.
The thing that amazes me is that combined total, 300,000, that's how many actually show up to a race.
Yeah, good point.
Well, and also, you know, it was so much more, you know, inclusive. I mean, Lando Norris talking to all these important folk, including his fellow drivers. The best line of the day, he calls up George Russell. He goes, I got to start at the back, George. What do I do?
Because George Russell knows how to do that.
Wrong number.
Hey, Jonathan, I was watching the Not the Bahrain GP more than and while the NASCAR race was going on. And I know you were kind of doing the opposite. So what did you think about NASCAR? But that was on Fox. That wasn't on YouTube or that wasn't anywhere else. What did you think?
To be honest, it was really, really impressive. They'd done some real thinking about this. I think the NASCAR graphics and the NASCAR coverage was excellent. But they had a genuine national anthem singer. They had a general convocation. They actually had a vicar live. They had the actual reporters going into the drivers' houses and asking them, you know, pre-race. They had Boyer in the studio, but doing his own race, but on mic so we could talk to him. And then afterwards, we spoke live to Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, Jeff Gordon spoke to Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, it was as close to the real thing as you could possibly get. And Hamlin wins it by a couple of inches.
Well, you know, they were using the iRacing platform, which has been around for a long time. And I think that's some of the drivers think that has the most realistic you know, dynamics and everything else, but the graphics themselves were marginal, I would say. You know, in today's world, they were, you know, 5 years ago, you would have said they were amazing, but the F1 graphics in that F1 game, I mean, if you were to just walking by and look up, you would swear it was real until you stopped and looked at it a little more closely. So between the two, I mean, there's some really amazing stuff going on.
Well, that alone is what really draws me into this and makes me say this is a viable, you know, pacifier for my appetite right now, because it looks real. It is, you know, we saw Lando Norris, I mean, dicing it out quite a bit with a couple of the racers, and he was using techniques that we've seen him use on the track. They're very much applicable. They're appropriate. The graphics are spectacular.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing that has me accepting this as a substitute right now.
Well, I forgot to talk about who our guests are tonight, because we have two amazing guests tonight. So we caught up with the head of Formula One's digital and esports, Dr. Julian Tan, and we got to interview him yesterday. So we're going to play that here in the next segment. And also, Jonathan, you caught up with Igor Fraga, who's an FIA Formula 3 driver. He's a Red Bull rookie now. He won the Toyota Racing Series. So we got two great guests, and we go into a lot of what you just talked about, Les, in this interview with Dr. Julian Tan. We're going to play in the next segment. But I definitely want to talk about the F1 race that we just watched this afternoon, because did you guys see Johnny Herbert, the way he started the race?
He missed the first corner. He cheated.
Track boundaries?
Yeah, he completely cut off the first corner and jumped to the front of the grid, and I was like, wait, what? He can't do that.
10-second drop there.
I love it.
It was great. It was fun. And, you know, that also goes into really what this was all about. You know, think about it, guys. This was put together in less than a week. And this is not supposed to replace the competition. This is not supposed to replace driver points, you know, prize money or anything like that. This is just for fun. And, you know, I think it achieved that perfectly, because the number of people watching and the people that they had, it wasn't just F1 drivers. Jonathan, you know a lot of those people.
Yeah, I mean, they had a singer from One Direction. They had Ian Poulter, the golfer. They had the Olympic cyclist, Chris Hoy. That was what was really cool. Guang Yu Zhao, who actually won the race, is another ex-TRS guy who's currently in F2 and is currently one of the Red Bull Sport Academy drivers. So, bona fide F2 driver. And then, of course, you've got the Hulk, and you've got Esteban Gutierrez, who we know very well, the Mexican driver who was in F1. It was pretty cool, really. And then, of course, a host of really great e-gamer guys, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? The commentary coverage was pretty darn good. I thought it was really good. And I know that can make a big difference. I think the Veloce Esports guys are still finding their footing there a little bit, but that one was also really good. That was on earlier in the day, at the exact same time, like I said, as the NASCAR race. But that was good too. Lando was in that, and he was on. Let's see, he qualified fifth, and then he ended up going to the back of the grid right after the race started, and he fought his way back up to 10th. And then they had a second race, and he ended up, they did a reverse grid, so he started 11th, and he actually came up to 5th. And remember, a lot of these guys are, they're all different levels of gamers, right? Some of them are experienced gamers, and some of them are very inexperienced gamers, but they're race car drivers, so runs the gamut.
The funny thing, Hulkenberg said he started 2 days ago.
Hulkenberg?
Yeah, 2 days ago is when he first got on this system.
Well, he qualified 3rd.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we are going to play our interview with Dr. Julian Tan, the head of esports and digital with Formula One. Really excited to have that. So let's go and take a break. We're in Austin, Texas, live from our houses, back after these messages.
Thank you. As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hey, it's Patrick Lindsay, driving Park Place Motorsports Porsche, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are live in Austin, Texas, at our homes, doing our own social distancing away from the studio tonight. And we're going to jump right into this interview that we did yesterday because we're really excited because this interview is with Dr. Julian Tan, and he is the head of digital business and initiatives and esports at Formula One. And he is probably one of the most important people in motorsports right now because of the evolution of what's going on with the way motorsports is jumping right in and doing all this competition online with actual race car drivers in Formula One, NASCAR this weekend also, and next weekend we have IndyCar doing all this. Okay. Yep. So, yeah. So, but let's go ahead and play this interview with Julian Tan, and really excited to have this. Here's Julian. Well, I know that this is amazing for people who are sitting home now, everyone around the world quarantined, and just the fact that motorsports can lead the way in the sporting world because we have the ability to do this. We've got drivers that are at home that have probably, I mean, a lot of them have already got wheels and pedals and setups, and some of them have amazing rigs like Lando Norris and Max Verstappen. But it's so different from other sports where they don't have the ability to do this, and where it's so immersive, and also the fact that fans can join right in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're very lucky in motorsports to be able to have, an esports proposition that overlaps so heavily with our real sport, and, you know, where the borders between what's virtual and what's real are really blurred. And that's really what makes our esports competition really, really special, our esports competition really special. So I think for us, you know, I think having the ability to cross the chasm through esports allows us to use digital in really innovative ways in times like these, basically create a proposition, a completely new proposition, but still racing nonetheless. And I think whether racing takes place virtually or in the real world, spirit is still very much there. And I think it's really, really powerful for us to be able to kind of use the tools that we have in esports and in digital to create something new, create some light relief, you know, during what is a really difficult period for many countries around the world.
Julian, question for you. How have you formatted this? Because obviously this is very different. It's a bit of fun, but you've got some serious players who spend a lot of their time, and especially when it comes to professional gamers, who will be taking this very serious. This is their chance to have a go at Lando or Stoffel or somebody. How have you gone about formatting it and getting the drivers to take part?
Sure. So the format of the concept of proposition itself will evolve quite a bit between now and the end of May, which, you know, I think provides us, like with any digital product, the opportunity to test and learn, get learnings from each broadcast and kind of refine the proposition itself. To start with, this weekend, we will have what is really an exhibition race between Formula One drivers, both present and past, and some special guests as well, really just having some fun racing each other on the Formula One game. And we also have, of course, our F1 esports drivers who are, you know, the best in the world at Formula One game, who we're also looking to kind of integrate part of the proposition as we go along throughout the season. You know, I think for us, we really want to kind of create something new, something fresh, something creative, for our fans, both present but also new fans as well, who are watching Formula One for the very first time. The mission that we're putting out between now and the end of May is really about how we can serve the fans better, and that's whether it is helping them engage with the sport of Formula One by racing with their F1 heroes directly through participation, or creating new kind of concepts for them to be able to consume from a viewership perspective.
I think it's going to be exciting. I had the opportunity to talk to one of the local guys who has fallen in love with Formula One, and he was very dejected. One of the things that he brought up, and I thought it was a pretty solid question, was are the Formula One drivers hesitant about being involved in this series?
So I think what's really interesting is, you know, the Formula One game itself is a very nice balance. I think it's a mass use product, right? It's something that, you know, anyone can sort of pick up. You know, I think when you compare it to a lot of other games that may be a little bit more simulation heavy, a little bit more closer to life, this is a little bit softer. So I think that Formula One drivers kind of being Formula One drivers are very, very competitive. And, you know, I think that that's why we've really positioned the proposition as being something that's, you know, for a bit of fun, because at the end of the day, what fans want to see is they want to see the Formula One heroes racing, whether that is competitively or non-competitively. And for us, I think we've really tried to kind of angle our proposition. I think that's not hardcore racing. I think it's something that is for leisure. It's for light relief. You know, these drivers should feel comfortable playing it and laughing at each other if something does happen. You know, and I think fans will still really enjoy watching that and still be able to kind of, you know, engage with that.
I can see that some of the drivers might say, hey, you've got a GTX 2080. I'm running on a Intel graphics, or I'm running on a controller where you've got, you know, the $10,000 pedals and wheels, and just having fun with it and knowing that it's that, you know, there's no money at stake. There's no, yeah. It's just fun and having all the different.
It's just for fun. It's just for fun.
Have any of the drivers been talking about their rigs, about the kind of hardware they've got and the connection at their house? You know, I hear that from my son, who's a big gamer. You know, it's like, well, I've got lag, I've got latency, I've got this. Yeah. Have they been talking about that?
Yeah. I mean, what's really interesting to see is that, you know, with the new crop, the sort of new age of Formula One drivers, you know, the new crop of talent that's coming up, more and more of them are, you know, very avid sim racers. You know, they do in their spare time, whether it's Lando, whether it's Max, whether it's Nicholas Latifi, you know, they're spending so much time on this. And it's really interesting to see how this shift, you know, which I think more naturally, of course, Formula One drivers are very competitive in nature, that is in their blood. And, you know, I think it's also about having fun at the end of the day. And that's what we're focused on.
But Julian, do you also see the huge business crossover? I was with Igor Fraga in New Zealand doing the commentary on the TRS series, which he won. But he was sponsored by Gran Turismo, and I thought that was a huge step for both Gran Turismo and for motor racing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Igor's story is incredible. He's he signed on to Red Bull as well. I don't know if you guys have seen that news. So really, really great guy. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting Igor in 2017 in Abu Dhabi, actually, and he was one of our 20 finalists in our first ever inaugural F1 Esports Series competition. He was the nicest guy, really the nicest guy. And, you know, I think we at Formula One are obviously really excited to see him grow in his career and really cross the chasm from virtual to the real world. And, you know, we've been very supportive following his story. And yeah, he's such a great guy.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, so Julian, I mean, obviously this has all happened. I mean, the fact that we're having this competition is obviously something we weren't planning on. But was there a sort of parallel? Was this going to happen anyway, is what I'm getting at? Was this, because it looks as though Formula One certainly have been running e-championships and crossing over for many years, but some of us, if you like, the traditional world, are only just getting into it and understanding that now each Formula One team has its own e-team, and we're just getting to know those names.
Yeah, I mean, the Formula One Esports Series this year will be our fourth season that we're running. And year on year, we've seen tremendous growth. You know, year on year, participation in 2019 saw a 65% increase in participation. And in terms of viewership, we saw something around the realms of 75% all year on year. So, you know, our Esports proposition, which is purely focused on kind of the fastest gamers on the Formula One game, where, you know, Igor's story has come from, Formula Bassi's story has come from, is a very, you know, I think for us, our flagship esports competition. I think what happened over 2 months ago when it opened up, you know, a lot of questions for us on how we could look to explore esports and digital in more innovative ways as well, beyond just the kind of the traditional, what I would call the traditional esports model of, you know, being completely or being more skewed towards the gaming side of things, trying to create a proposition for gaming and esports that would serve for, you know, alternative forms of entertainment. And so, you know, I think that, as I said, as that announcement came out, we were really hard at work, really. We came up with a really cool concept. We're really excited. We actually reached out to the teams, and the teams were all really enthusiastic, and you know, they all wanted to be able to support it and participate. And obviously, as I said, things really did, you know, escalate very quite rapidly over the past two weeks, and you know, that spurred us on to see how we could, you know, really adapt the concept that we had initially. To something in, you know, immediately, which is, you know, what will happen tomorrow at our first ever Grand Prix.
I think it's really going to do a lot of things. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we're learning a lot of things about working remote, being out of the studio, even more so and diverse than we have. But I really think this is an example of what the technology can do. And of course, those of us on this call, we love the motorsports element of it. Are you looking towards potentially a tiered series, not only amongst the esport ranks, but are there going to be more consideration about folks to come into a Formula One seat? You know, we've seen it a couple of times, but is this really being looked at seriously nowadays by the teams as a potential a route into their seats?
Do you mean that by sort of a new grassroots into motorsports? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for us, what's been really important is actually getting the teams set up within kind of the esports ecosystem. You know, I think it will vary team by team from team. You know, we're seeing teams like Ferrari, for example, who have integrated esports teams within their Ferrari driver academy. Now, this is really significant because this means that, you know, their esports drivers are their peers of the likes of Mick Schumacher and Callum Ilott. And, you know, I think that's really powerful. And that's certainly how teams like Ferrari, teams like McLaren, for example, they see the potential for esports as kind of this new, you know, it opens up the funnel, right? It opens up the funnel for people to be able to participate in motorsports, which in by nature, motorsports is not the most, you know, accessible sport in the world. I always make the comparison whereby in tennis or in basketball, it's very easy for you to work. But with motorsports, it's so much more inaccessible. So it's really important, I think, the role that esports can play in terms of breaking down those barriers and giving a wider group of people a new route into our sport, because we have an amazing sport. And, you know, whether it's what Ferrari is doing with the Ferrari Driver Academy, or McLaren with the McLaren Shadow program, or Renault as well with their esports program, they're all seeing this as a huge potential area to open up the funnel, you know, find new talent. Because at the end of the day, racing, whether it's virtual or whether it's real, there are a lot of similarities. And to excel in, you know, you would need the same kind of ingredients to excel in real world racing as you would in the virtual world. You know, I think that the kind of the challenges around crossing the chasm between virtual and real still are very real, right? You're still, you know, jumping into a car versus playing in your team, are fundamental challenges from a physical perspective. But I've actually heard stories where people have found it easier to go from virtual to real than it has been from real to virtual, because, you know, your whole life you've been training in a real life car and you come into the sim. It's difficult to have that experience, whereas when you grown up on a sim and you jump into a real life car, it's much easier to kind of anticipate and learn the reactions required to respond racing in a real life. So I think that it's a huge potential, and the teams definitely do see this as a real opportunity area for them.
You know, it's funny. I think I've heard you say before that originally the esports was something that was really a way to get into the younger fans, to bring younger fans into Formula One. But the way things are going, it's almost like it's going to have a life of its own. And watching esports, after watching Lando last weekend, I was totally hooked on racing. And I've downloaded the game a few weeks ago, and I've gotten into it just a little bit, but it's just as entertaining. It's amazing to me how entertaining watching the sport, the esports is. It's almost the same as watching the real sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, John, your story is a story that I tell almost every single day. You know, I think a lot of people have reservations when they hear about esports. Like, why would I watch other people play a video game? And my answer to them is honestly, come and watch an F1 esports race, and they always will be converted. You know, I have a colleague, Pat Simmons, who you may know, who's our chief technical officer here in F1. He was asking me this last year, you know, he wanted to kind of find out a little bit more about this world. And I said, why don't you come over to one of our live shows? He came over, and at the end, he's like, and you want to get it now. You know, it's so exciting, because a couple of things, right? The game, the Formula One game for us is super realistic. So from a viewer's perspective, it looks almost identical to the real thing. So it provides a really authentic way to consume that content. And then also, you know, for us in our esports series, all of the cars have equal performance. So, you know, you'll see things like, in our series last year, we had Williams over to Ferrari, which, you know, was an amazing, I think, thing that you know, for Williams fans as well, to kind of give them another touch point to kind of engage with their team in a different kind of way. And also the drivers themselves, they're more risk-taking, because, you know, if they crash, they're going to injure themselves. It's not like hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage. So that creates they're more risk-taking. So that creates a level of racing that is very difficult, if not impossible, to kind of replicate in real world. And at the end of the day, the kind of the spirit of racing is the same. I think everyone has within them the kind of instinct to race. You know, when you were a kid, when was the last time you heard, you know, you remember saying to a friend of yours, catch me if you can, right? game playing tag. Like, I think racing in whatever form, whether virtual or real, it's just inherent in our blood. And I think that is what we're trying to do with esports, is to transcend that, you know, to kind of diversify away from the traditional concept of what racing looks like.
And you know what? It takes no time at all to, it's not like you have to get used to it or anything. You just instantly, it's the same. It feels the same as watching a race. There's no transition. Well, Dr. Tan, I know you are got a tight schedule. You got a lot going on your plate right now. So we're going to let you go, but thank you very much for coming on and, you know, wish you luck for all of this. And I know that this is a tough time for all of us, but I know that, you know, out of times like this, opportunity arises, and this is kind of what's happening with esports. So we wish you luck.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, pretty excited to have him on the show, man. I mean, it is true. It's a horrible time. It's horrible, but, you know, I'm glad that there's something there to entertain us. But we got to go to a break, guys. Let's go ahead and go to a break. When we come back, we're going to continue the discussion, talk more about the F1 race today, the virtual race. And then we're going to talk with hear that interview that Jonathan did with Igor Fragar. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi, this is Ryan DeElg, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We've been talking about esports all day today because that's what was on this weekend. Hey, but Les, you got a message from the guys over here at Ducati Austin you want to talk about.
You bet. Want to make sure everybody knows. Yes, quarantine is in effect, but our buddies at Ducati Austin, they are open and meeting for as needed for appointments, whether it's sales or you're in there servicing. Actually, you know, this quarantine works out a great time to get things serviced and fixed. You got some maintenance because, you know, as soon as we get out of the quarantine condition, you're going to want to put some miles on that.
All right. Well, hey, guys, I want to talk about the Formula One Virtual Grand Prix today. And because there was actually some, we talked about the excitement being, it was just fun to watch. But some of the action, like, Jimmy Broadbent, if you don't know who he is, he was racing today, and he is a big-time YouTube streamer and streams races all the time, and he got to race, and he and Lando Norris went wheel-to-wheel multiple times at the end of that race. Did you guys get to see that?
I did. The thing I loved about that was how realistic that is to what we were seeing on a racetrack last season. And you saw the techniques, you saw the setups coming. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and I love the fact that I mean, Lando to me was the belle of the ball. You were talking about the commentary. Ah, forget the regular commentators like me and all the other guys. Lando's the guy you got to listen to. Lando Norris, go to his Twitch. He had 106,000 at one point, but he's chatting, he's laughing, he's giggling, and he's racing really hard. So cool. Really loved it. And yeah, right at the end, Jimmy Broadbent took him out when they were both challenging for the podium. In the end, Lando got taken out, finished fifth, and Broadbent went on to get fourth place.
And you know what?
You know what, Jonathan? I want to hear Formula One do something that NASCAR says. Don't fall over. I want to hear the drivers more often speaking to the commentators as we hear Lee Diffie and those guys talk to the drivers real time.
Yeah, at one point during the race, and I know you watched it, and it was the funny part, was that he got thrown out of the race because he had too, I don't know what the reason was, but he had too many followers. Anyway, the game let him down a little bit because he had to stop. But the auto bot, the Lando bot, as he called it, carried on in fifth place. And then he got to get another invitation and got back into the race. But during that time off, he was commentating on it. And he said, wow, this commentary stuff, it's not as easy as it looks, because he was trying to keep up with it all. And he was having so much fun, and he was funny and irreverent as heck. And it was just like, oh, I'm not really, you know, when he spoke to Zach Brown, sorry, I'm letting McLaren down, I'm at the back, and all this sort of stuff. Really good stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? I did some research. Last weekend, he had 70,000 peak people streaming at the same time, concurrent streamers. And last week, I looked that up, and that was the 48th largest stream in along Twitch for the entire year of 2020. And so this week at 110,000, I haven't had a chance to look that up, but that's probably in the 30s, maybe so, or somewhere in there. So this is really moving the needle in the gaming world, and motorsports is leading the way doing that. And Jonathan, his commentary was amazing. And the way I listened to it was I put the race on the big screen, you know, just Chromecast it out to the big screen. And then I put Twitch on the laptop, and you know, he wasn't talking the whole race, so you could turn him all the way up and he would just pop up and say something while he was racing. And you know, he was talking about, you know, hey, I'm coming to get you, Jimmy. And, you know, it was really, really cool.
Well, the other thing was he actually got his engineer from McLaren and his setup guy doing spotting and also telling him, you know, who was around him and how his tires were going and when to pit. So we actually, you know, we actually got an insight into what it was like to ride with, you know, Lando in a Formula One race.
Yeah.
And I think you need to call him. You got his number, and just get him to join us from the car.
Okay.
Now, we don't want cell phones in the car. We've had that before. That doesn't work out so good.
Right, that Santino?
Yeah, Santino.
Yeah, thanks, Santino. Brought to you by Verizon.
Hey, you know, we talked about that NASCAR was streaming. Their streaming was you know, using iRacing, and it was on Fox Sports. But did you guys know that stream we were watching on YouTube, that was actually on Sky Sports across the UK? I don't even know how far and why. Do you know, Jonathan?
Yeah, which is obviously they've got a dedicated Sky Sports F1 channel, so they were kind of doing their own show around it. And of course they had Johnny Herbert, who is one of their pundits, involved, so that was, I'm sure, another fun part of it. But yeah, I really do think that this could catch on in this strange time we're in. And here's an important factor that I just thought of. There's some real world benefits to this. Guan Yu Zhao is a Formula 2 driver. He's relatively unheard of. I know him because I work with him at both Macau and the Toyota Racing Series. He's Chinese, he's a young guy, he was a Ferrari Academy driver, he's now moved on to the Renault Sport Academy, and if you go to every webpage right now in motorsport, from motorsport.com to crash.net to anywhere you want to go to formula1.com, you will see a guy in a Pirelli hat with a Renault set of overalls on, with the Sport Academy on, with Alpine Stars on, with F2 on, they get, and 300,000 people saw him today, and that's real world advertising.
Yeah,
I think that's fantastic. You know, I've got to ask you, Jonathan, you know, that with this broadcast going all over the world, the inquiring minds want to know, did they get the Cornhole Championship on as well?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I'm doing commentary for that. Thanks for noticing, Les.
Yeah, flashback to some station that changed over to that. Thanks, team.
That's ESPN, man, doing that stuff. Well, hey, guys, let's shift gears and talk about our next interview, because, Jonathan, you caught up with Igor Fraga, and talk about his background. You know, we talked a little bit during the interview with Julian Tan about, you know, gamer to racer and racer to gamer, but he's got a long history in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the beautiful time to talk to Igor Fraga. I got to know him in New Zealand. He's a current TRS champion, so he won just a few weeks ago. And because he won, similar to the guy he took on, which is Liam Lawson, he beat Liam Lawson, and he's now going to race against Liam Lawson in the FIA F3 championship for Sharos Racing, the Czech team. And amazingly, just as happened to Liam Lawson last year, he got a call from Helmut Marko, and he's just become a Red Bull Junior. But the best part of the story is Igor Fraga was one of the original gamers. He has been racing PlayStation Gran Turismo since he was 3 years old, and still races it, won the Gran Turismo championship, couldn't afford to go racing, so like went karting and did a bit of this AF2000, did whatever he could, and while he and his dad could afford it, but eventually he had to stick with the gaming because he couldn't afford it. But now Gran Turismo are paying for his actual racing career, and that's what's allowed him to move to be one of the next stars of F3.
All right, well, let's go ahead and play this clip. And this is, for the producer, this is the clip that's Igor Fraga background, and it's like a 6-minute clip. So let's go ahead and play that and hear a good bit of that interview you did with him, Jonathan.
Igor, first and foremost, congratulations. How did the Red Bull thing come about, and how did you hear about it?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And yeah, regarding the Red Bull, after, you know, finishing the Toyota Racing Series, we were heading towards Czech Republic, which Sharos Racing System is based on. So, you know, after finishing this, I needed to go like straight away to there to really start the preparation of the season. You know, after that, we had 3 days of testing on 1-3 of March. And yeah, just when I arrived there in Czech, I was, you know, waiting my rental car. And then, you know, I had a phone call from Austria, and I was like, you know, this is serious. And when I, you know, how can I say, like, I pick up the phone, Dr. Mark was there, and it was like, kind of unbelievable for me. I was kind of, you know, this is really happening. And yeah, he told me that you know, congratulate me for the TRS. And he said also that would like to have a meeting with me, and that his secretary will be giving, you know, more information about that. And it was basically it. And I was like, I think this thing is going to leading, you know, something else. And I was really excited about it. Of course, I have an idea what's, you know, what was about. But of course, at the same time, I had, you know, was a bit nervous.
Oh, I can understand that. So why don't we, we got to know each other quite well in New Zealand, and I obviously know more about you than a lot of people do, because for the real racing world, you haven't had the same success as you've had in the gaming world. You're very well known, obviously, in the gaming world. But why don't we just start with a little bit of background on you, because you have a very interesting life story, which includes your father, who I met in New Zealand. But tell me what you've done before signing with Red Bull. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Yes, so I was actually born in Japan. I lived there until my 12 years of age. So, you know, I studied in normal Japanese school. So, of course, I can speak, read, and write Japanese. And I started my karting career there as well. You know, my dad always really loved car racing. He also raced, I think, 2 years when he was teenage in karting, but he didn't really have the financial conditions to keep it. And yeah, when he went to Japan, I think, you know, he had reasonable conditions to really introduce me to the real motorsports. But first, he wanted to me having a base of the controls of, you know, the machine, which is like steering wheel, the throttle, the braking, because I was really small. I was like 3 years old. And then after a few months, he saw that, you know, I could actually kind of start to do it, let's say, correctly. And yeah, he decided to put me on the real karting. And, you know, my team was always my dad and my mom. My dad always have been, you know, my mechanic. He was my coach there, my engineer as well. We had data analysis and everything. He really, when he really gets into it, he really wants to be good as well. So he also, you know, study a lot to really try to understand everything. My mom was there assisting my dad, taking pictures and also filming some footage. So when I go back to home, I had some content to study as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, myself was there, you know, having a good time with the family, learning everything that they had to teach me. And this was, you know, where everything started. And then after that, you know, the things were getting serious. I won 7 championships, karting championships in Japan. 2008, I won the Asian karting Open Championship. And then, you know, it was expanding more like international career in karting, and everything was going well until we had the financial crisis in the, you know, in globally. And I dropped my sponsors. The work that my dad had was getting very weak. So, you know, I needed to pause my career because we didn't have the conditions to keep racing. And yeah, after a few years, we moved to Brazil, trying to, you know, restart the life. And yeah, after a few years here in Brazil, we could establish ourselves better and, you know, start to find some sponsors. And I was already getting into the age of the transition to like karting to school. And, you know, my parents saw that to do like a high level of karting competition here in Brazil was very, very expensive. And actually those like Formula V's, Formula 1600 parts were actually, you know, cheaper than that. So they decided to, we decided actually to step up into the Formula categories. So I did my first year in the Formula 1600. I did Formula 3, the Brazilian Formula 3, 2 years of full academy class. I won in the championship 2017. And then we moved to USA for the year 2000. I finished fourth place. And then at the end of that year, I ended up winning the World Championship of Drench Racing on the Elite Force competition. And yeah, they decided to sponsor me from that year on. So last year I raced in the Form Regional Championship with, you know, sponsored by Gran Turismo, finished third place. And at the beginning of this year, I won the TRS, the Toyota Racing Series.
Yeah, Jonathan, he's one of the coolest stories in all of this esports to virtual and back right now.
Well, what's interesting, you've got Guan Yu Zhao winning today, right? Who is a traditional, I mean, he games as well. He said that today when he finished. He does a lot of practice on sims, but he is a traditional racing driver. Fragar has definitely come as a traditional gamer, but now what people are saying at 21, is he too old? Is he old enough? Could he make it all the way? And having watched him against some of the very best at TRS, this year, there's no reason why he can't make it all the way to Formula One, which would be stunning if you think about it.
Yeah, that would be amazing. All right, well, let's go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. We're going to talk a little bit more. We have some more from Igor, but also we haven't talked about IndyCar yet. We're going to discuss how they're going to do their esports event, too. You listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas. Back after a quick break.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hey everyone, I'm Steve Arpin, driver of the Jacob Company's Ford Fiesta for Lone Bro Chip Ganassi Racing. You're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Back to the show. We're live in Austin, Texas, and we have been talking about Formula One and their esports. We talked a little bit about NASCAR. Jonathan's got his helmet on. You're not the only
one. The whole quarantine thing is taking its toll. Look at this.
He's taking the quarantine.
I'm ready to go, guys. I'm ready to go. Just bring it on.
Oh, no.
You know, Jonathan, you're not the only one. I saw a bunch of racers pretending with their helmets on today, too.
Well, this is why it's not a joke what Ducati Austin are offering people, because if you've got your own helmet, you're quarantined, you can go for a ride, you can have, you know, a talk back. Enjoy Texas.
There you go. Okay. Hey, you know what? Before we talk IndyCar, Jonathan, I'm going to play one more clip from Igor Fraga, because you talk about his story going from, you know, virtual to real racing and back. So we've got about a four-minute clip that talks about him real versus virtual. Let's go ahead and play that one.
How good are the games at emulating the real thing? And what I mean by that is when you win a competition in esports, you will, you know, you'll have tires go off, you'll have situations. I mean, obviously, the crashes don't hurt as much, but what I'm getting at is how well do the developers of these games get the intricacies of actual racing correct?
Nowadays, it's getting, you know, very, very close to the real life. You know, the physics are becoming very, very realistic. So you are actually required to you know, to use the same skills, to learn the skills that you are actually going to use on the real life as well. And the racing also, it's so interesting, and they can make it, you know, for example, that the same car, it will be exactly the same. So the level of competition it's crazy, and everyone is so tight. And also, you know, racing craft, there's a lot of things that you can learn there. And for me, you know, definitely in all those years that I have been part of esports, it really helped me to challenge myself, to, you know, develop new skills. Because, you know, when I started to really see that esports could be a big thing, opportunity for me to get professional in the real life, you know, I started to join online competitions, time trials and stuff like that. And I saw all the other guys were like so quick, and I couldn't understand why. But, you know, I was really keep trying to seek all those little things. And at the end, you know, I could really start to be there on the top top level. And I think this really helped me directly on the real life.
So which do you find harder to do?
Both. It's I don't know. Because the both are very difficult, but there is some differences on the difficulty. Because, for example, on the virtual, you know, it's all by yourself. You don't have engineer, you don't have a team, and you need to test like everything, the strategy, depending on the race car setup. You know, there's a lot of, you know, variables that you have to taking in account, and also the environment there. For example, you know, you have all the camera, all the light action going on, and you know, when the thing are getting most exciting for your race, there will be a camera like coming towards you to really record all the action. So focusing there, it's a thing that, you know, if you are not really concentrated, you can really lose it and start to do some mistakes. And on the real life, you know, of course you have all the support from the team. It's a bit, how can I say, lighter for you, and you can really concentrate on the racing itself, mm-hmm. on your lap. And but you know, at the same time, you have all the risk. If you have a contact, you can damage a little bit, and that's done for you. And you know, you have the risk of even hurt yourself because of that. And you know, there is a bit different things, but at the end, the both are very competitive, and it's racing, and I love to do that. So for me, you know, it's a pleasure to be in the both world, really.
Yeah, that was Igor Fraga, and we are going to be following him and, you know, his story. It's been a great story so far, but we're going to be following him. But we said we're going to talk about the IndyCar virtual series, and they are, what they're doing is they're teaming up with iRacing, same as NASCAR, same entity, and they're going to stage 6 virtual races, and they're going to have a bunch of the current IndyCar series drivers, which will, I'm certain, will include Connor Daly. And they're going to have the very first one starting next Saturday, the 28th, and they'll be streamed live on IndyCar.com. I don't know if who knows, they may stream them other places too, but the races are going to last about 90 minutes, and they're going to start at 4:00 Eastern time, and they're going to go through May 2nd. So they're going to do a pre-race virtual autograph session with several of the participants before each show. So, and if you guys recall, we had Connor Daly on. It was probably what, late last year, maybe 6 months ago, talking about his gaming. And we played some of his Twitch clips way back last summer. And, you know, and he was playing with a controller. Remember that? He was saying, I don't want to use pedals. I'd rather use a controller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Each to his own.
It's really something, right? Go ahead, Jonathan.
No, each to his own, but I think I prefer a wheel. But yeah, I mean, sometimes people feel more comfortable with the controller.
Jonathan, you've got a gaming rig that my son came over and built you that is, I mean, it's a serious setup. It's got a pretty good graphics GPU in it. It's got, and you've got, what have you got, pedals or wheel? What do you have so far?
I've got nothing. That's why I haven't played yet. I'm waiting for your son to come back over and hit me up with the right gear.
I know you've got the heart.
No, that's why I've been talking to Igor and a few others. He's got me the Thrustmaster, told me how to set that up.
That's
right. Then there's Fanatec. I'm talking to SimCraft, see if I can get the full operation. But yeah, it's all there to be done.
Well, that's going to be fun. I've got the F1 2019 game on my laptop. It's not the most, you know, it's not optimized for gaming. Doesn't have a great GPU and all that. But, well, guys, we're just about to run out of time here. I got to get back to getting some more snacks. I think that's the hardest part about quarantining is not eating all of my snacks in the first day. I don't know about you guys, but
yep. I got a homework assignment though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this week I've already seen it. Juan Manuel Fangio's story came out on Netflix. It's an hour and a half of awesome history. It's called A Life of Speed, and it is fantastic. I loved so much of the history. His battle with Sterling Moss, a lot of that is documented through there. Jackie Stewart is interlaced all through it, talking about his interactions. Fantastic documentary to do while you're holed up at the house.
Yeah, and that what we did today was a great way to avoid Netflix, but that's a good one, Les. I like it. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for watching, tuning in on the radio, Facebook, Twitter, and all that. And Jonathan, you got something else?
Yes, I've got a commentary line that I thought was the commentary line of the day. If you can't send it, rear-end it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.